Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Issue 29.5, our 29th reviews issue. And, well, at least Nat and Kat have a lot to cover, so let's get started with y'all.
All right, well, I'll start with Sandman Universe number one. This is written by several people, so I'm going to go to the actual, like, list, because there's a lot of names. And never mind, I'm not going to go to the list, because I can't find the list. So, here we go.
You did great. Who did it?
Right. Story by Neil Gaiman, written by Simon Spurrier, Kat Howard, Nalo Hopkinson, and Dan Waters. Illustrated by, I'm going to butcher this, I don't know how to say it, Bilkis Evely, Tom Fowler, Domo Stanton, Max Fuimara, and Sebastian Fuimara. This was really cool. I've actually never read anything from Sandman. This is kind of the primer issue leading into the stories, the four series that will exist in the Sandman universe out of Vertigo. Gorgeous book. I love the themes. I definitely want to go back and read more Sandman after reading this. Yeah, the idea of storytelling and the world of stories and the world of dreams is just really cool. And I'm pretty sure that Bilkis Evely is one of the artists on the actual ongoing, one of the ongoing series, and her art is just incredible. So I would definitely be sticking with that. I'm going to try to roll through a couple here. We go to Thor number four. I have been super high on this run, and it all has to do with Mike Del Mundo. Cosmic, crazy, weird shit that's happening is just so much fun. They're in Niflheim, the land of the dead. And Thanos shows up to interrupt the wedding of Hela and Baldur. And, yeah, the title of this story is War is Hell, with H-E-L.
Hey.
It is really, really fun and spastic and bombastic and...
Beautiful art, for sure.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, like, combination of oil and digital and... there's Eisnery stuff where the background and the onomatopoeia is all part of the art. It's just really cool. The Valkyries are in this one and doesn't take a whole lot of coercion to bring them into the story, which is great. Yeah, you know, like Baldur with an energy sword riding a cosmic goat. Like, yeah, this is why I read comics. I don't know what else to say. Just, like, glowing people and Thor wearing the crown of hell. It's, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. This was the book I was most looking forward to this week and turned out to be my favorite of the week. So, yay when things like that happen.
Hooray!
My last book that I'll talk about, solo, that is Wonder Woman number 52, and I have an interesting journey with this because I've been very upset with the direction of Wonder Woman after the Greg Rucka, Liam Sharp, Nicola Scott run at the beginning of Rebirth. So it's been a long time since I've been reading this book, and I picked it up because Aztec is in it, like one of the most obscure, weird comic book characters, I believe created by Grant Morrison back in the late 90s, early 2000s. There's a different Aztec, it's a female Aztec, so I don't know how that story unfolds, but I'm going to have to go and try to find some back issues,
I
think.
Was he in Justice League, like, United?
Yeah.
Did they have an Aztec in there?
They did have Justice, briefly.
All right, so I'm like, why does that sound, that looks so familiar, but yeah. I don't know why.
So 51 was a writer change. Steve Orlando took over the book, and this issue is drawn by Akko, who I have a tumultuous relationship with. I believe it was, gosh, maybe way back in issue number two of Capes and Scowls West, I talked about how much I hated his artwork in the Nick Fury book. I love it here. I don't know if...
Flashback.
Yeah, totally.
Flashback.
Totally things changed for me. But this is a bombastic story where Aztec finds Diana to because of a vision that she has. And the vision leads to an Amazonian myth about a warrior who has been trapped fighting another god in from another group of mythological gods.
Okay.
And so they bring in Artemis, and you learn a lot about the group that Artemis is from. Let me see if I can find the name they call them. I didn't realize that there was actually like a the Bana Migdal. So, like, the group of Amazons who leave and worship different deities than the traditional. There was a lot of... So this was not a new reader-friendly book, but somebody who loves the character and loves, like, the lore of Wonder Woman, and I love Ancient Aliens, and there's a little bit of that. So...
Alien. I'm not saying Wonder Woman did it, but the pyramids might have been built by Wonder Woman.
but she may have built the pyramids. they actually have, like, a moment of seeing beyond sight, where, you know, things are being hidden because you're not of... You don't have the alien technology to see it. Mm. I just loved this issue. I actually have now subscribed to this run because I'm just really interested. And then, you know, eventually we'll get G. Willow Wilson. So looks like I got a long run on Wonder Woman here. But great issue. I think 51 and 52 both are easy pickups to get back into Wonder Woman. So.
Okay.
Nice. Well, what do you have for us, Kat?
Okay, Kat's turn. I'm going to try and do this semi-quickly, but most of the ones that I have read myself, I actually would like to say a little bit. I'm not going to really say anything about Shattered Grid, except you just read it, please. Stop. I still don't understand why people aren't reading it.
Mighty Morphin 30?
Yep, Mighty Morphin number 30. And it sounds like at the end of this, too, I will say this. I promise not to show you anything, but it says... To be continued in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid number 1. So does that mean, I don't know if that means there's going to be another series that they're going to give us of Power Rangers?
Maybe it's a one-shot?
I don't know. But
or maybe it's a time travel thing and we go back to the beginning of the story and find
that
that's where the story ends?
I'm not sure because of what the ending is. But anyways, okay. I will be making sure that I have that on my list because what the fuck's happening? Justice League number 6. Better than 5. I don't know what 5 was, but 5 should just go away, and this should be 5. So, I'm not super sure what's going on in here anymore either, but the gist I got from it is, hey, we need to give in to our weakness for a second and stop being heroes, and maybe we can save everybody. But yeah, number 5, not worth anybody's time. Number 6, much better.
Bold statement there.
I hate saying it because the author for that one... I really like a lot of his works, and I was kind of really disappointed with what I read, so I don't know if it's just what he has. And then something I haven't mentioned in a really long time, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse number 28. So if you haven't been reading, you've had ample amounts of time at this point. So Fred Jones is dead. They killed him. And Daphne is losing her mind. So, and now her and Scrappy are best friends, running around killing a bunch of monsters.
Nice.
And then I guess at the very end, I don't know what he is, but I want to know what he is.
And the
I thought you were going to say that they were running around killing a bunch of people.
Sort of, technically.
I mean, from, like, in the Scooby Apocalypse world, Daphne and Scrappy would get along very well and just go around just...
But yeah, it's basically this story now is like the mental breakdown of Daphne at this point. And the very end of it, you see Fred and it says risen. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? It said he was dead. So does this mean that there's something different with this whole monster virus now?
Yeah. So, who knows?
I don't know. I will eventually find out in theory. So there's that. Injustice 2, number 32. All I have to say is you don't even really have to read the rest of them, but just know that Lobo gets a power ring, and he's literally...
like a Green Lantern power ring?
A Green Lantern power ring. They have to fight off the Red Lanterns because they were trying to invade, and he literally hit somebody with a construct of a dick. He hit Atrocitus with a dick.
No way.
Breaks his shield, and then you've got with a giant.
Wow. Oh, so it's off screen. You don't actually see it.
Wow. Yeah. And so
you just get the penetration, but you don't get the
penetration. Yeah. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, and he's saying you should probably have to. Guy Gardner is dead in this universe.
Okay.
Hal actually killed him, so this is just like a figment of his imagination. This is like his conscience.
He's hallucinating and talking to... Wow.
And he's like, wow, you need another Green Lantern just to follow him around with a sensor sign.
I'm imagining the writer just being like, okay, so what exactly can I show can't I show? Because I want to show it all if I can, but what's the limit?
This is... Can I show a giant glowing green penis?
A glowing green penis? No.
No, okay.
Can I have them talk about a giant glowing green penis? Yes, all right. Okay. Cool. How about a middle finger? I do have a giant middle finger.
So, and actually Sinestro has his power ring again because they're so desperate for lanterns because the Red Lanterns just attacked them with Starro and used him to possess everybody.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so it was like a ridiculous... The fact that they gave him a power ring and he whacked somebody with a giant dick was just...
Wow.
I can't not mention this because that's so stupid and ridiculous.
It's like that is such a video game generation thing to do. Right. Like, it's like, let's do it in the video game comic.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, that's funny. Classic. Just imagine Lobo as like a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, like, it's like
like you noob.
Lobo as Lobro.
Lobro. That'll be like my username with zeros.
My final mention is going to be Batwoman number 18. I don't know if this is ending or not, but the way that it's played out in this comic, it seems like it is ending. Which makes me sad because why are you doing this to me? This is like the comic I was looking forward to each week. But I mean, she's obviously gone through a bunch of stuff. I don't know if anybody's read Detective Comics, but she killed somebody. Batman, she's on Batman's shit list right now. In 17, she actually uses his PTSD from when he was a kid because he comes after her for her sister. And she uses the gun that killed his parents, that noise, to shock him out of something so she could kick the shit out of him.
That is...
Like...
She just has a recording of the gun sound. And she just does. Like, and hey. He's about to get her, and she's just like...
She basically Bluetooths it in an amphitheater and plays it when he comes for her.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She plays it so she can get a shot in.
So Batman is dark, so let's make it that much darker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You think Batwoman can't stand up to Batman? You are wrong. You are dead wrong. So,
darkness, no darkness, parents.
The darkest night.
The final hurrah for this is, it's called The Time of Your Life, and it just goes over all of the stuff she's done in her last comics and in these comics and talking about how she hasn't wasted any of her life and she now realizes that. And I really enjoyed this last issue, and whether it's a last issue or not, I still don't know, and it's going to drive me insane until I find out otherwise, but I mean, it's still really pretty and in that Batwoman sense, and I mean, She's funny. She don't give a shit about nothing. She just talks to everybody. It's great.
Cool.
Well, it was a definite drawing a line in the sand of I'm Batwoman. I'm not Batman. I follow his code. Like the one thing she said is basically, if I don't want to kill anybody, but it has to be the absolute final. This is all I can do, and I'm willing to be that person. So. Mm.
Nice.
Yeah, I have to stay with Detective Comics now because either if this is disappearing, I have nothing.
All right. Patrick?
Well, I guess I'll go into something for me that's disappearing and now I have nothing. So it's no surprise to any of the listeners out there that DC's Young Animal is probably one of my favorite lines currently going, and all the ones I'm reading right now are ending. They're just ending them all within the same. I didn't realize they were all six issue miniseries, but Shade the Changing Woman ended 2 weeks ago and I about blew my brains out.
And they're and like, hey, you see that guy Patrick? He keeps buying all the stuff. End that.
Yeah, exactly. Then I went to go pick up Eternity Girl. Shouts out to Magdalene Visaggio and Sunny Liu. And I quickly flip to the back because I'm like, no, 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 no. And sure enough, this is ending. And Mother Panic is going to end on the next issue, too.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm upset.
I know, right?
That's bullshit.
But, man, does Eternity Girl go out with a bang. Since she's basically an elemental god, this goes into some really cosmic godlike territory. We have her basically, like, breaking down the walls of the universe, and there's, like, a scene when somebody comes in here or is, like, walking up to, like, stop her, and there's, like, literally dozens of different versions of that character from all around the multiverse. Just, like, from everything. There's a part where she's like, oh, shit, I'm a superhero in a different universe, so I can, use, like, fight off this chick. And then in the very end, we have Eternity Girl basically becoming a literal god of the DC pantheon and creating, like, more gods, basically. So I was like, you know what? It might be good that it's ending here. Because what is going to stop her? Superman? No. Darkseid? No. Not even.
Darkseid is, yeah,
what? You wish. Right. Anyone? Bring them all at her, bro. So, sadness. And I'm going to be extra sad on the next reviews episode when I talk about Mother Panic, too. But these are all great. And especially, there's ones from before they did, but since all of these are basically going to be six-issue series, Shade the Changing Woman, Eternity Girl, and Mother Panic AD, it's all just one trade, one story, all worth your read. Go out, pick them up. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with Young Animal. I'm interested to see where they go. I was hoping they'd get rid of all three of them and then just put them in a team together with Cave Carson.
Nice. I'm wondering, like, if it'll fold into Vertigo in some way. Like, that seems...
Yeah.
Nobody knows anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to cry now.
That might be interesting to see. I would love to see a continuation with these characters in any way, even if it's just cameos and other things, you know. And then, so next I have, this is Skyward number 5. I just want to give a shout-out. This book continues to just be fun and...
I don't know, this one sounded emotionally crushing.
Yeah. This one does. There's a particular scene in it, which I won't spoil for listeners, but I had Matt and Kat just read this one scene, and... I was literally tearing up when I read it, and I wanted to see, like, the impact that just that had, even on somebody who'd not been familiar with these characters.
It's emotionally crushing, and when you, like, sit and think about it longer, it's even more emotionally crushing.
It's one of those sequences where you, like, flip back at the previous pages to be like,
why are you doing this?
Are you sure? No! Are you sure? Yeah, and then, yeah... Just, and then another, like, cool thing about the physics in this world, you know, it's very sad, and there's characters crying, and since there's no gravity on this earth, instead of the tears going down her cheeks, they just kind of, like, globule up and sort of float in front of her face.
Oh, God, I just, like, thought about that even a little bit more. Now I'm even more depressed.
I know, right? And,
This should be a good movie.
Yeah, it should be a good movie. Woo! They, like, I'm imagining it now because that it's going to be a movie, like, how they're going to pace each issue. And, like, when it came to this, I was like, yeah, this is, like, the emotional, like, arc, like, set-off point for the character. Like, 20 or 30 minutes into the movie where shit starts getting really intense.
Right.
Issue number 5, so we'll see how it goes. With that said... I think everything else we have, we crossovers.
Over
on, right?
Sure, yeah.
So, why don't you guys start crossing over, because I don't have any crossovers.
Well, me and you have one, so let's leave
them.
I mean,
you have two, right?
Yeah, you and me have two. I don't know how many y'all have.
Nat. There's too many ants in this room.
I'll lead the way with Extermination.
Yeah, let's go!
So, I'm not huge on the X-Men books. I absolutely love X-Men Red. We've discussed this at
length.
Yeah,
I mean, I think a lot of us here are really not super big on them.
Yeah, and it's not
and
for...
And like you, I just like X-Men Red.
Right. And I love the X-Men 90s cartoon and all that stuff. So I actually read this because a customer spoiled the story for me, and I went, what? So this is written by Ed Brisson with art by Pepe Larraz, and it is a time travel batshit insanity. We're going to get rid of the original 5 X-Men. It seems like they're leaving of their own accord, though, that maybe they're going to try to go back in time. But there are entities that are just going to say, nah, we're going to kill you instead.
Nobody knows. I don't... I, like, read this and I didn't realize how ridiculous X-Men was when it came to characters and how, like, out there everything was. I'm just, like, sitting in the back of my mind and I'm like, dude, if I had to try and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, mapping you character relationships? Yeah, no.
I think those entities are probably me in the comic books going, death to all X-Men. Right? Death.
Well, like, they kill two characters in this book.
Yeah, that was, like, immediately, too.
Nice.
I was like, holy shit.
The less X people, the better.
Well, one character... Can we spoil? We can spoil stuff.
Ah, right? We're spoiling it. Just deal with it.
Because this is
you
kind of like...
You want to read the second one anyways if you can't find the first one.
Right. So, Cable is killed in this. And then we see Cable's killer. And Cable's killer is... a younger version of Cable from a different timeline.
Maybe, probably, we don't know. So yeah. Is it murder or is it suicide? I don't know. Yeah. That's like the question that I left with this. I'm like, wait, so is it murder or is it suicide?
Well, and for all of you like 90s / early 2000s readers, remember the character of X-Man, who was a time transposed younger version of Cable, but focused more on the telekinetic and telepathic powers. I got kind of excited by that idea, to be honest. I was like, this is nuts, and I kind of love it.
I'm actually gonna subscribe to all of them.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous book, by the way.
It really is. So. Like, that's the other part too, is the attention to detail in that book is amazing. Yeah. So I'll definitely go with that. It was great. Read it.
Yeah. Do you guys want to hit Unnatural?
Sure.
We can.
We'll go from confusing to painfully, painfully. This makes me feel awkward.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm. I guess I don't really have too terribly much to say, honestly, about this issue, other than...
I want to know where it's going. I'm trying to understand what the story is, because it drifted into the mystic area all of a sudden, and it... Yeah, exactly. That's what I did.
There's apparently a prophecy involved now, like, and then there's a reveal at the end that there's this hooded stranger stalking our protagonist... who we don't even get to see a hint of, so there's, like, no way to even tell.
Is it a wolf-hooded stranger?
You can't, it's black face, hooded gloves on the hands, long sleeves, long pants.
The ending you get...
Very purposefully, like...
Wait, what? What the hell is this? Are you stalking that pig or hunting her?
Yeah.
What?
There's just absolutely nothing to... The one part that really got me in this was the flashback sequence.
Oh my god.
It goes back to...
Talk about some freaking mommy issues, man.
Yeah, her basically has a young piglet, you know, and her dad leaves on a business trip, and then she's sick, and then she gets scared that night and goes to her mom's room and finds her mom cheating on her dad with a...
Looks like a lion.
What is it, a lion?
Yeah.
So,
What?
Yeah. And so, yeah, her best friend is trying to convince her, like, oh, it's not so bad, you'll find somebody of your same species and settle down. And, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea, literally.
The worst part is it is, like, and when then she's like, hears her mom say, like, something basically around the point of, it makes me sick that she looks like him. And I was like...
Oh, yeah. What is it?
I don't remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is exploring some really, like... deep stuff.
Okay, sometimes I get angry just seeing how much Leslie looks like him. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some
damn.
I'm kind of
upset I missed this because it seems like.
Come on, Nat. You were the one that, like, forced it into Cat and I's hands, basically.
And that's the other part of it. Too. I mean, if I remember correctly, there was talks of a sexy werewolf.
the Nat breaks on audio.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's basically like, oh god, like, that part in this comic just tore me apart. I'm like, god, you're her... And I've always explained this to people, just with the way that my parents are. I've never understood a parent who... Because sometimes people have crappy parents, and I've never understood parents who are like that. Like, my mom would give anything for me to be okay, and that just, like, astounds me that you could say that. Even,
oh, yeah.
Even if, like... you hate your husband, like, that's, you literally get burnt, like, you have hormones that tell you to love it.
Yeah, no, I know,
science
right?
is on my side.
You know, I was actually reading this, and I was getting some really faint sort of, Animal Farm vibes.
I got that,
you know, especially when they start talking about, like, the leader and like they the other this like weird sort of futurist. It's like there's definitely a touch of dystopia.
Well, the other part of it was too is like they were talking about even with her is like it sounds ridiculous and I'm like, huh, I get why she's a pig. They're kind of treating her like a bit of a piece of the meat when it comes down to it too.
Yeah, that is true.
So
that's just like
you're welcome. I will wreck you.
there's a lot of the juxtaposition of the imagery versus the content that they're in the story. Mm-hmm.
It's cutesy animals and fucked up
cutesy. Like, well, we're gonna go
that,
like.
I'm sorry, I've seen some boobs in this.
Yeah, it's like, anyway,
that's just semantics. Come on,
yeah. Semantics.
Cute, all right. Sexy.
So, Supergirl number 21.
Yeah.
Written by Mark the Android Andraco. Shout out to the Schmodown. With art by Kevin Maguire. Hey, he's going to be the number one contender right now.
Okay. All right now. Let's keep it in your pants here. Get to Supergirl.
Mark Andraco is a fantastic writer, and I'm really glad that he's doing something this mainstream. But this takes the...
So dope.
It's Supergirl going on an adventure to figure out who the hell Rogal Zar was. Like, what...
Well, she's... And that's the thing, too, is this looks like it's going to be... I forgot what I put it as. It's going to be one of those... like secret society Illuminati kind of deal,
yeah.
Too,
which
I'm super like. It's you would think I wouldn't care about that stuff, but I love it. I eat it up.
There's so much,
and I always love when they dive into the mythos of something and they kind of tweak it, but somehow it still fits with everything and it makes it make more sense.
How are you going to handle this? Is she going to be in space the whole time? Are you going to just going to grin and bear it?
Supergirl in space.
I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but like I can overlook things when they give me other things that I want, like this whole Illuminati kind of deal.
Gotcha.
And like this conspiracy theory and the fact that they're actually messing with the mythology of Superman
and having Crypto the Superdog as a co-pilot in the spaceship.
I was kind
if
of
you turn the
what
S
is
upside
what is
down?
Her,
it looks like
is,
a pyramid with an eye on top.
what is the? I was actually kind of hoping that the cat would show up too.
Oh, Streaky.
Yeah, Streaky.
I want to talk about really quickly too on Kevin Maguire's artwork in this. Oh my god, like the facial expressions. I know that's what he's known for, but when you see it, it's just so insane.
I just love the fact of how Superman even looks in this comic too. It's insane.
Superman Hal.
And I will say this, Nat has a super cool cover, but even the regular cover is like, I want a poster of this in my house.
And the regular cover hints at the fact that she's going to be utilizing different uniforms for situations. So like that's
why not?
That's awesome. It's great fashion. The suit that she gets in this one that stores solar energy because she's traveling through space. I'm like, well, that's absolutely intelligent. Why wouldn't you do that? So.
Same hero, different boots.
I honestly enjoyed the letter too, and they let us read it instead of her reading it in her head. So I enjoyed that. I appreciate that. But
yeah, I'm down on this. This was a great like relaunch, quote unquote, of the character. Like, it's just,
oh yeah. I mean, I've read a few here and there before that, and I've, like, had little to no interest with Supergirl, and now I'm like, yay!
Great jumping on point.
Read it.
Watch the Schmodown.
Nice.
It's a movie trivia game show done like WWE.
Nice.
Anyway, Patrick, want to lead another grouping?
Yeah, sure. You want to talk... let's talk Pearl real quick.
Pearl?
So this is Jinx World Pearl number 1, written by Brian Michael Bendis and art by Michael Gatos. Yeah, he's this new up-and-coming indie comics artist, Brian Michael Bendis.
Only got 7 titles with DC now.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you're right.
So is this technically DC, this... Yep. This is just a different line.
Jinx World is his creator-owned stuff.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So they have Black Label, Young Animal, and Jinx World now.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Vertigo's coming back.
Vertigo, expanding all that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a static shock from there, too, so.
Static. Nice. I really like almost everything about this book, even though it's very slow and very deliberate. It's almost too slow for like the content that it goes for.
I think it felt like a first Bendis issue, where it's like it's the slow burn. It definitely didn't tell you what's going on. There's a lot in the story.
And then by issue four, that's when he like hits his stride, and you're like, whoa!
I think you're much more positive. I was going to say issue 15 is like,
oh, 15.
It's his stride.
Yeah, that's true. I kid. It does take a couple arcs. No. They always build just a lot. You're right. It's a slow build.
Yeah. Slow burn. Usually.
The art in this though is absolutely astounding and in multiple ways.
It reminds me actually a lot of the aesthetic I enjoy in Mother Panic. Like when Mother Panic. It is more CG than that.
Yeah. The first artist on Mother Panic. Yeah. And then the fact that there is this like interesting art and it takes place around a tattoo.
Yeah.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. That's like the
you would think that'd be right up my alley, but I have too many tattoos, like it's just about this.
No. It's very much like about recognizing who the artist is because of their work, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. So interesting to see where this goes for sure. Yeah. But I don't really have too terribly much to say about it.
Right. Now. It's like it's a mystery that needs to be unfolded, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I will say that I'm definitely down to continue to see where this mystery goes, at least.
Actually, I think we should stick with Bendis for a moment.
Yeah?
Because I think there's a nice, interesting opposition. Kat, you want to lead off on
that? All right.
Heck yeah. So we got Superman number 2, and it was awesome. I feel like that little kid. I'm like, awesome.
So this is Brian Michael Bendis, the art by Ivan Reis. I think inks are Joe Prado.
Probably.
Just wanted to highlight that because.
No, you're good.
So this is kind of a weird. You know, we just talked about Bendis taking a long time to get into things. This is very much not like this is the anti-Bendis book.
Yeah, he's jumping me across right the in. Face.
Well, I think like you guys are talking about him, his run on Man of Steel. Was his Bendis slow build to both this and then Action Comics?
But Action Comics is very slow.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
So
I have no idea.
If I had to pick between the two. Like, if, like, I had to give one up, I'd give up Action Comics, because this one is just, it's better.
It is better, and it's doing,
I enjoy the story more, is probably what it is.
I think this one is perspective-wise better, too, because it's dealing much more with, like, Superman's point of view, and one of the best ways, or ways that I enjoy Superman the most, is when we deal with his POV, and we get inside of his head, because his thought process is what's very interesting, and what humanizes him. At the same time, what lets you realize how far ahead of us he is. So I think that characterization works really well in this. Plus, they brought in the fucking Nuclear Man from Superman 4. I like just seeing it going, are you serious? Like, that is straight up that character from the terrible, terrible film who has glowy long nails made of nuclear energy. You know, like, it's so ridiculous.
It's okay, but, he killed him now, it's fine.
Yeah, Rogozar. And I think that Ivan Reis right now draws the best Superman of this new era.
I definitely love it.
The pseudo-classic Superman.
I'm gonna have, like, that nerd moment of pushing my glasses
up. Oh, pushing the glasses up, where are we going?
So, they actually talk about the fact of what's happening to the Earth, because they're inside the Phantom Zone, and actually talk about it. They're like, the sea's out of control, we have no moon.
Yes.
Barry is being, like, medically affected by it. Like, at the very end, he passes out. I will say I do have, like, one small complaint. Was Barry always a redhead?
No, that actually was an accident.
Okay, cool.
They addressed that.
Really?
Because Wally's a redhead.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. I was like, wait, is this Wally? And I went back, and I was like, no, he said Barry.
And honestly, you're in the moment so, like, closely that you don't notice it. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, he has red hair. That's not white.
And even Batman's over the comm line. And he's like, I don't feel right.
Yes. So it's you're which then begs
I feel wild discomfort in my chest and bowels, which, of course, he doesn't give a crap. He'll say whatever.
Right.
And then Barry's like, I hear Batman. It's just a league psychic link. Unsubscribe.
There's the question then about, like, the is it cruel and unusual punishment to be in the Phantom Zone?
And that's something
that Krypton's been doing for years, but if everybody feels this way when they're inside of it.
Yo, obviously for humans, it's having a definite adverse effect, so I'm curious to see. And what's his name went down like one punch too, so that's kind of another curious part to it.
Phantom Zone laundry.
Phantom Zone.
I really want to see the Phantom Zone without thinking about Batman. Lego Batman. The Phantom Zone laundry.
That's so good.
Yeah. All right. Phantom Zone.
Well, we got to keep rushing along because there's still a bunch here. Patrick.
Yeah, I guess we'll go on to... This is the last review I had. I didn't really honestly read too many comics this week. So we have Crowded number one. This is script and design by Christopher Sabella and Rose Stein on pencils. So this... I'm kind of a sucker for Image number ones. Like, I'll just pick them up because...
Aren't we all?
You know, very hardly are they bad, you know?
I will say that, yeah, you're right.
And this definitely continues the trend of me wanting to pick up Image number ones, sight-seeing without even reading them, because holy shit, this is what a intense... social commentary and crazy action thriller this
So the baseline of this is that basically everything has been monetized into an app in this world. So in this near future is what it seems like. So, you know, app for walking your dog, app for getting money, you know, quickly, app for babysitting.
Like, they already have all these things is the thing. Like, this is... It feels like it should be futuristic, but it's, like, not
at like
all.
Like, within the next 4 years kind of
like
scenario.
The main character drives for Uber, and then she walks people's dogs via an app. Or, like, the... What was it they have? And they have all the great app names,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
because like
they're
everything.
Not
like,
the labeled ones.
She
that
drives
to.
For, what is it, Drift, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
and,
is.
And then, yeah, she walks people's dogs and then tutors kids. And then, like,
basically
all through different apps.
Right, her whole life is app-driven.
Yeah, and that and a lot of people are. She hires her bodyguard off of
Defender.
Yeah, with
D-F.
D-E-F-E-N-D-R,
yeah.
You know?
Defender.
And then,
and
but
she's...
so the whole premise of this is because there's another app which is basically
Reaper.
Kickstarter. Yeah, Reaper, R-E-P-R.
Just makes
you
me
know,
think of, like, the
which,
South Park episode.
Which people, so the premise of this app is it's like Kickstarter for assassinations.
Yeah,
crowdfunded
assassinations.
You basically put somebody's name up there and everybody will donate to the cause, and I think ostensibly whoever kills the person will get the money. And they're like, but the thing is, most of the funds only get like $20 or $100.
Right.
You're not going to kill someone for $100. But the main character, for some reason, just overnight, she has a bounty of $1.25 million on her head, basically.
Yeah. And we, like, the great, I think, premise and, like, the first part of the story is that she explains how mundane her life is. I mean, really, she has an app-driven life. She just does a bunch of odd jobs. It's not like she's this famous person or anything.
The world
that would,
got
like,
bored one day.
Yeah.
Well, I think... towards the end, there's a bit of a character, like, a shift in her characterization.
Yes.
So I think, I'm interested to see where that goes, and if her story is true, or what did she do, or anything, because...
And that was the surprise for me in this, is how much of a mystery this story ended up being.
Yeah, because her bodyguard asked her, she's like, you know, nobody gets over $1,000, hardly, so for you to be at over $1 million, what did you do
right.
to piss people off? Like, do you... you know, hit somebody in the parking lot or, like, you know, what...
Hit somebody in the parking lot.
How did you... Yeah, she's like, even politicians don't get, like, higher than, like, a couple thousand, like, so why is it...
Yeah. And this has been optioned for a film already.
Really?
Rebel Wilson is producing and starring in this.
Nice.
And I'm down. Like, this story was really interesting and definitely one of those, I want to know the mystery. I want to know about her bodyguard.
Carl. I will say, Karl Marx would have a field day with this book. It is like, it's like such an interesting comment on like the idea of like monetizing every single aspect of life via apps.
Yep.
So, Yeah, which is something that's happening right now. Gamifying is what most people call it.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense. I get that.
You know how you can get, like, a workout app, and then it'll give you certain points if you do, like, keep to your workout schedule and all that stuff.
I didn't know about that. I just go to the gym like a regular person.
Well, yeah, I mean, most people do, but...
Using the function in the AMC app to silence your phone for you so that, you know, you gain points.
There's even an app now that forces you to cut down on app usage time that you can download on certain phones. And, that's like, awesome. You can set it to just, like, shut you out of apps after a certain amount of time. And stuff like that.
I have a corgi. She does the same thing. She'll just knock the phone out of your hand.
That's like, I already got that.
We're all good here with our analog solutions. All these people with these apps are the people who invented automatic hand towel or paper towel dispensers. Solutions to no problem.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, all right. Total tangent. Great comic. Go read it.
All right.
Round four. Fantastic Four number one.
Yep.
Written by Dan Slott with art by Sarah Pichelli.
I thought they were both writing it.
Oh, I guess it's by both. Yeah, you're right.
Is it Pichelli or Pichelli?
It's actually Pichelli. Pichelli. I got corrected via something I was watching recently.
So. Oh, huh. I mean, whatever. Sorry, Sarah Pichelli. I've been saying it wrong these whole years. You did.
Amazing illustrator. Oh my god, amazing.
Yeah. Love your work on Spider-Man.
It is actually the art, and it's really good.
I think this is a great issue because it's emotionally driven, and like, it left me feeling incredibly sad. Like, that was my overwhelming fear. Johnny, as your POV character, really like hammers it home that the Fantastic Four made an impact, and their absence is making an impact. It did feel a little bit like your traditional, this is Marvel's number one, so we're not going to have anything happen. I'm sorry.
That's probably why
Marvel
they didn't give
has
a
the
flying
opposite
shit.
Of image.
Yes,
one.
They really, like, in many ways they do. Like, this is a reflection of that whole, like, the Ultimates line, where in setting up a story, nothing happens in the issue.
Is the backstory a different author and stuff?
Yeah, I think Dan Slott wrote everything with the exception of the one shot by Scotty Young, like the one page thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's good and it's beautiful and I want to read more of Fantastic Four, but I kind of want to say get on with it too, like get Sue and Reed back.
I mean, you saw them for, like, a page, and I was like, okay, you're telling me they're back! I'm like,
well, you're telling me they're somewhere that they can make contact. I don't even know if they're in our space or if, like, they're on the moon.
But, I don't know. For me, it was kind of I didn't care. it was an issue of nothing happening.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I hope that they can get them on Earth and we can start going on adventures and really get to the core of Fantastic Four soon.
I was looking through the previews and it looks like the two one that they do.
Two in one?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be having other characters on it, so I'm thinking by October, in theory, they should be there because the issue that's solicited has Reed Richards and the Thing on the front of
it. Okay, cool.
So,
I totally forgot about Ben Grimm's girlfriend and
and Alicia. That is amazing. Like
such a heart touching story. Like just right off the bat,
exactly the blind sculptor who sees past all of the rock and that's the thing is like
and then he's giving her, apparently the ring he's giving her is like the most beautiful ring ever, which is like kind of a cool comment too because. Why would she need the
she
most beautiful
the
ring?
Yeah, exactly.
But he wanted to give her. It's like purple and glowy. It looks like it's made out of some like space gym.
It probably is
that he had to, you know, fight Galactus to get or something like that.
And that's the thing is like this issue was kind of the between the pages. You know, like this is what's happening, and it's good. I don't want to take anything away from that. It's a well written, great story. It's just. I think we're all kind of get on with it. Like, Fantastic Four...
You've been leading at the fact for already how long that they're somewhere. We all know that.
So let's get them here.
Let's actually...
All right.
Next!
Yeah. What else? What do you have for us next?
I guess Infinity War is number two.
I don't think a whole lot has to be said about it besides the fact this is probably the most brutal comic I've read for the week. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, and like, let's...
like, of course, I just opened it up to like the worst page possible.
Let's talk about, too, the opposite of wasting time. Like, they're not wasting time at all with this series.
She's like, excuse me while I kill everybody.
Right. And ostensibly, she's going to undo things? Like,
I don't... Like, the biggest thing is like, the one question I have is they are all saying she can't have her soul back, and I'm like, she's obviously going crazy. She's literally imagining Thanos right now. Like, why can't she have another part of her soul back? What does that do?
Well, and man, this is such an interesting... Infinity Wars cannot exist without the Infinity War movie, because I feel like... the zeitgeist, like, we all know the stones now, and like, we're so familiar with that because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's kind of what makes the story work, is like, they don't need a lot of background.
And that's the one thing that I was trying to figure out is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Definitely.
I think it's kind of crazy how fast they're giving Requiem all of the stones. Like, it's just happening, you know? So, yeah, it's...
running around killing everybody. What was it? Was it Iron Man and Captain America? She just, like, kabobbed.
It's a cool concept, too. Like, just put the Power Stone in the sword. Okay, yeah, that makes total fucking sense. Like,
annihilates everyone with it.
and head lops. Holy crap, did she lop some heads?
I think she got Doctor Strange and, what was it, Warlock?
Oh, yeah, she gets she lobs Warlock's head. She gets Thanos' head.
This can't be in, like, continuity.
This is totally in continuity. They're using the gems to, like, undo things, immediately after they happen.
Okay.
But, like...
I was like, they just killed Captain America. Iron Man.
Well, and then, like... in the previous issue, there was a Loki from a different dimension who was the keeper of all of the stones.
The best part to all of this is the fact of how quickly they didn't realize what actually happened. This is it. Oh, yeah, that's what... I didn't understand this when I was originally reading it. But
the Captain Marvel moment.
Yeah, the Captain Marvel moment. She's like, damn you, I didn't want this to happen. It's Gamora, she has the reality, and then she just skewers freaking... Oh, it's Doctor Strange and Captain America.
Yeah, there's like, this is one of the most enjoyable stories, because right now it's like, I have no idea what you're going to do next.
Warlock's the one whose head she took off.
Marvel is actually pushing the T+ rating right now, and I'm loving it. They're actually I think there's a new rating that they're going with on some of the titles. Like, Cosmic Ghost Rider has changed its rating from T+ to something else. It's like, it's a whole new...
M-.
Right, exactly, M-.
I'm curious as to what they call it on, like, what are they? Oh, that just says mature readers.
So, all right. Well, I guess Kat, you and I. Oh, do we want to talk Edge of Spider-Geddon before we go to Batman?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. For me, this was the Edge of Spider-Geddon number one. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And for me, it was my favorite read of the week.
Anarchist Spider-Man, so dope.
And it's so funny because they make him punk, and the villain that comes after him is capitalist ridiculousness, and it's hilarious.
I also maybe we're in the mindset, like, I'm so excited for the Into the Spider-Verse movie that I feel like I'm going to eat all of this shit up.
I think the other part of it is, too, though, is I'm so excited for the game, and I'm like, dude!
Right, like, we're all in this, like,
well, he's going to be, like, Spidey bubble. They did one of the costumes for him, too.
Right?
So he's gonna
Spider-Geddon number zero is actually about the video game Spider-Man, so there's so much of, like, that Spider-Man is bubbling.
There's a lot of attention to details to this, because, like, his costume, his hair has points of it where it pokes out, and it's so funny.
And the raging atomic bomb.
Yeah, the Hulk is, like, a metalhead, and the only way he can turn into the Hulk is if he listens to that music.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool. And he's reluctant to it. Like, he doesn't want to listen to the music.
He doesn't want to.
So he's, like, when he's getting angry, like, no, I don't want to be angry. Yeah. I just want to calm down. And
It was my favorite. It was so fun.
I think the
Captain word, Anarchy.
the description that got thrown around with conversations today was, this is so much better than it deserves to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
probably.
So
I don't know why. It's just the fact that he's like punk, and he's like, I'm not gonna be a sellout, man.
I'm not Spider Punk. Spider Man.
I like how they went almost like straight Full Metal Jacket with the A on his, like, helmet.
Oh, exactly.
Like a little nod to that, of course.
It's a great fun read. It was great. You know what I like too about these is I feel like you can read each one and it's just going to be its own thing. Yeah. Like you're not going to have to read them all together.
Is that Miles' Spider-Man then?
It's,
I forget.
Is it just a completely different Spider-Person?
It's Hobie Brown.
Hobie, that's what it is.
Hobie
Brown. He's another character and I can't remember who he is in the main Spider-Man universe, but. We're running tight on time, so we're gonna hit Batman number 53. Tom King, art by Lee Weeks. The end of the Cold Days, the end of the best bat suit that we've ever gotten in the continuity of comics. As Tom King writes, it's all amazingly well written.
Apparently, in the regular universe, not to interrupt you, he is the Prowler.
Oh, okay, so that's.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no, because Aaron Davis is the
second Prowler.
There's multiple Prowlers.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
I need to get my continuity straight. Apparently,
so I think Tom King is an amazing writer, and I think this is a really interesting exploration in the psychology of Batman. And I really just want the story to move forward now because I'm done living in this moment. I don't know if it's just me as the Batman fan. Like, God, I don't know what it is. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what it felt like.
See him as, like, you know, Stanley from a Streetcar Named Desire.
Selina! Selina! I like it. I like that, actually. There's the moment at the end. He goes to the original suit, which also screws up continuity from the New 52. And once again, I don't care about continuity that much, so it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. But I know people will be like, that is not technically his first suit, because in 0 year, in Scott Snyder and Jake Fuller's run, he had a different proto-suit than that one.
So, yes. I guess a PA to all you people out there, don't try to out-nerd Nat. Because he will very specifically tell you.
Yeah, that is true. but once again, like I said, great writing. I felt similar to Fantastic Four. It's like, this is an amazingly well-written. It's fucking gorgeous. I want Lee Weeks to do a Batman miniseries that's set in, like, the 1940s or the animated series universe. Like, his aesthetic is just so perfect for that, but I'm gonna miss the Rebirth Batman. Like, right now I don't feel like that's what I'm reading anymore.
I would probably agree with you. It's just, like, the whole issue to this, like, the whole thing with it I think part of it was, is he's like, I guess I'm not God. Is basically, I think he had an ego stepping back moment.
And I like what the story that's being explored. It's just, after the wedding, I was really interested in where Batman goes going forward, and it's been 3 issues of stagnation, like nothing. So
that's fair. I'll give you that one. I don't know. I've always enjoyed the Psychosis stories. They're fun and entertaining, and I kind of enjoyed, and there's a whole thing that came out of this issue too, and I was like, whatever, but him basically, it was like the moment in time where he, like, put himself on a pedestal and he realized that he did, so I kind of enjoyed his, he had a humility moment.
So this is an interesting thing, because I didn't get that. For me, I got the fact that he was trying to project what his thoughts were onto other people. So not as opposed to that's actually what he believed, but that's how he believes the general public perceives Batman. So that wasn't what he actually thinks, it's just he was saying out loud what he thinks everybody else is believing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting that we had that from a different perspective. Like, I didn't think of that as a humility for him. I thought that was him saying, this is what you think, and I realize this is what you think.
I'd say yes and no, because of the fact of just some of the stuff that he said. It would take, like, a longer discussion, probably, for us to go into it. But,
well,
hopefully it'll go somewhere now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still on the book. The art is good. The writing is good. Hashtag not my Batman.
I'm still reading Detective Comics for Batwoman. I got nothing. I can't.
Right? we got nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, cool. Well, since we got nothing, let's just go ahead right there.
And
bye.
Bye.